good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today. World Cup Today. Yes, it's World Cup Today. Until the end of the World Cup, every day we go live during the FIFA 2018 World Cup with our thoughts about the beautiful game and this beautiful tournament in Russia. Kevin Lamy as well, Dwayne Rollins as always, and today to talk about FC Cincinnati and the brand new expansion team in Major League Soccer, Brian Weigel of Cincinnati Soccer Talk. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, Brian. You were at the announcement the other day. Just to start it off, how exciting was it to see FC Cincinnati announced as the next Major League Soccer expansion team?
Well, I think everybody in the city of Cincinnati kind of had an idea that we were going to be getting the expansion franchise some point this summer. But, you know, just as a Cincinnati sports fan, it was kind of surreal to be in that setting. You know, I wasn't going to trust that we were getting the Major League Soccer franchise until Don Garber officially said, you know, Cincinnati, welcome to Major League Soccer. So it was definitely an interesting kind of a sensation being in that room and seeing it all happen. I'll tell you what, though, the most special part or very special part about the announcement was when they had, you know, David Beckham and Tim Howard and David Villa on that video saying, you know, welcome to MLS Cincinnati. That was just incredible. Very emotional moment for myself.
This has happened very quickly. If you trace this back to the start of FC Cincinnati and the amazing crowds that we saw just a couple of years ago, before that, Cincinnati really wasn't on the map. Yet they're going to start next year. Is that too ambitious to start next year, or do you think that this is a club that's just going in the right direction and they're ready to start it up?
Well, the announcement from MLS was about 18 months to the day from our first town hall with Commissioner Garber. So I think ever since that time, that 18-month window, FC Cincinnati has been gearing up for this process. They've been hiring staff. They've been investing in the communities, you know, forming relationships to develop the academy, which is going to, I think, launch here for the 2019-2020 season. So they're putting a lot of things in place. And, of course, they have, you know, 17,000 season ticket holders. So I think that's going to make it a little bit easier on the money side. In terms of the player personnel side, I think that was, of course, the most challenging part. You know, when you look at Minnesota, who brought their head coach on December of the year, or the you know, like 3-4 months before the season would start, you know we have our head coach in place, we have a technical director in place, so I think that transition will be a little bit easier. The thing that I'm more interested to see is the club culture going to transition from the USL side to the Major League Soccer side with the technical staff, with the fans, with the front office. So that I think is going to be a big tell with how successful we can be from the start.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned this, Brian, because I was listening to Alan Koch's interview yesterday after, after the announcement, and he was mentioning the conversation he had with the players earlier in the day, saying, look, it's a big day for the club, it's a big day for Cincinnati, it's a big day for our organization. Won't mean it'll be easy, and it won't mean it'll be all of you. Some of you will have an opportunity. It's up to you to prove ourselves until the end of the year that you can play with us and be there next year. What is the sentiment amongst the fan base with maybe their popular player won't be there next year? We have seen multiple times now, and I'll use Minnesota or Montreal example, the season before MLS is difficult, but the beautiful thing is you guys were not aware of it. So you might yeah. skip the bridesmaid year where you're having a terrible second division year before you move to the first league. But in your mind, Brian, what is the feeling in the fan base towards the players and the possibility of some fan favorites not being there next year?
Well, I don't know if it was by design from the front office or just the ambition from Coach Alan Koch, but a lot of fan favorites were actually dropped from the squad from this past season's transition into 2018. You saw, of course, guys like Harrison Delbridge leave for Australia, Mitch Hildebrandt leave to Australia, but you know, Austin Berry, I think he kind of realized he wasn't going to play much with the current team brought in this year. So you had a lot of those guys kind of leave out the door this past year, but you still have three original players, Kenny Walker, Corbin Bone, Jimmy McLaughlin, who I think the fan base would be a little bit disappointed if at least one or two of those guys didn't jump with the team this year. Now, the type of player that Coach Koch has brought in, like Emmanuel Ledesma, Forrest Lasso, these are guys that have been out in the community, sign autographs for seems like hours after the games. But those are also guys that are kind of on that fringe that might be able to make that transition. So I think as a fan base, you know, we're still young, but I think we realize that not all these guys are going to make it, and we're going to cherish these guys for as long as we can through the rest of this season.
I want to go back, Brian, to the you mentioned how it's going to change in the front office. And for me, that's interesting because there was a lot of rumors a few months ago when Caleb Porter left Timber Portland, Portland of Timbers. A lot of rumors saying, look, Cincinnati's probably going to be in the league and they might need a coach just a few months' time. Maybe that's the move that's motivating Caleb Porter to leave Portland. Hasn't happened yet, and Alan Koch has been presented, and his staff has been presented as well, and there's a very high probability that the staff will be back. You have staff with MLS experience when you're looking at Alan Koch and Jack Stern, goalkeeper coach of FC Cincinnati. What is your thought when you're looking at the goalkeeper coach and the entire staff as well for next year?
You know, I've had my ups and downs with Coach Koch. I think he is a tremendous motivator. I think he's a great scout of the game, can find talent. And at some points under him, the team has looked poor, but has gotten results. And I think that's important. You know, he's a guy that knows how to win games dirty. And, you know, he's kind of proven his track record, you know, going so far in the U.S. Open Cup last year, being in second place in USL this year. So I'm pretty confident that he can transition that over to Major League Soccer. And as you said, you know, he was an assistant in Vancouver. He was a huge part in their talent identification process. I want to say when he joined that club in 2010, 2011. So he at least has some sort of background there. Is it, you know, would I prefer a guy to come in with Major League Soccer experience like a head coach coming with experience? Yes. But I think at the same time, it's not an unknown to him. And keeping that, as I think I mentioned earlier, keeping that club culture, I think that's going to be a huge thing. You know, knowing this is the type of player we want to come in to wear the orange and blue, I think he understands that. I think he knows what kind of guys he wants to fight for him and for that crest. I know he says that all the time in his press conferences. So right now, I believe that he's a good fit. And, you know, he's going to have at least, almost 24 months in the role to really grow and identify who he wants, over the span of these past two seasons for his Major League Soccer squad.
Normally when we're bringing a team into the league, we wonder what the support's going to be like. We wonder what kind of engagement the club is going to get in the community. This is a club in FC Cincinnati that already has a good engagement, already gets great numbers. Is there more room for growth? Will the MLS announcement attract more new fans to FC Cincinnati?
I'd like to think so. We are a metropolitan area of over 2 million people, and that's really not even including the Dayton area, which is about 35 minutes north of us. So I think that when you are able to offer, you know, guys like Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore to come in to play against Wayne Rooney, perhaps, I think that's going to draw more people from, you know, the Kentucky, the Louisville's, the Lexington's, which are hotbeds of soccer, from Dayton, which has its share of successful pro soccer as well. So I think there's going to be an opportunity to push those numbers. You know, we started out at 14,000 in year one, and we thought that was just incredible. Then last year we got to 21. Now we're drawing 26, 27 on a weekly basis. So, The city, I don't think, is tired of it yet. We'll see what happens when we get the price increases. But I feel pretty confident at this point.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the price increases. That will be something for sure. Is there an element of the FC Cincinnati crowd that's disappointed by this? Are there people that are soccer hipsters, for lack of a better word, that are resistant?
I think it's a small minority, but I don't want to say that we've supported FC Cincinnati because their MLS ambitions, but I think that's always kind of been out there is, you know, we need to come up, we need to show up every day to make sure that we can make our club as successful as it can be. Of course, you do have the hipsters, but I don't think there's ever been a vocal majority that says, no, we like our USL side just to be the USL side. We want to push to have the highest level soccer as we possibly can in our city. And that would even allow us to bring back some of our local guys like Nick Hagland in Toronto. Maybe he could come and play for FC Cincinnati in Major League Soccer. So I think there's a lot of aspects where we really want to see kind of the best elements of soccer in North America that we can.
Now, Brian, what's next? You know MLS is coming very soon in 2019. Is USL enough to whet your appetite until 2019?
I want to focus on winning the USL Cup more than anything right now, honestly. We've had this this Major League Soccer distraction in our fan base, and it's kind of, you know, we want to support these guys who are on the field right now wearing the orange and blue. We want them to be successful. We need to learn how to beat Louisville first off, because that drives us crazy every couple weeks. But, I think what's next for us is focusing, getting that USL championship, exiting this league in style, and making sure Louisville can never win that USL Cup back from us.
And when you're looking at the plans for the soccer priority stadium, I'm not going to say soccer-specific stadium, because now we're looking at stadium that are going to be used first of all for soccer and then some entertainment and then some other aspect and rugby and other things. But when you're looking at the proposed soccer prioritized stadium, what comes to mind and how beneficial could this be for the community?
Well, I think it will be the model soccer stadium in this country. Where it's located, it's first off, it's right off downtown, right by mass transit, right off the streetcar line. In a community that has, you know, thousands of housing units, people can walk. A lot of target demographics in that area that like soccer will just be able to literally go from their house to the bar to the stadium, and that's where European soccer, that's kind of been their base. That's how a lot of people enjoy soccer, and I think that's going to be a huge thing for us here. Now, originally, I think they said it's going to be about 21,000, but I keep hearing that number might jump up, depending on how this whole deal plays out. I know we're going to have our season ticket push here starting, I want to say, July 2nd. So I think it's going to be an amazing facility. They keep talking about it to be state-of-the-art. I'm not sure the exact design changes. You know, originally they had kind of an Allianz Stadium facade like you see over in Bayern. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case anymore just because of how close it is to the residential areas. But I think it has a chance to be just a statement piece for North American soccer.
Brian, we live in the bubble. We absorb soccer culture, soccer news all the time. So I think sometimes those of us that are inside that bubble don't really realize how soccer is perceived outside of it. So what I'm going to ask you is, how was this announcement? How was FC Cincinnati's MLS expansion announcement perceived outside of the soccer bubble in general Cincinnati society?
I pretty much took over Cincinnati for the large part of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Even, of course, the announcement was Tuesday, just with all the media. The thing that's special about Cincinnati, and which is different than other markets, is all our media mediums have bought in, such as the news, the radio, paper. It's really just kind of just been this animal. I mean, FC Cincinnati honestly gets as much coverage as the Cincinnati Reds in the city of Cincinnati right now. And that, to me, that's outstanding. And that's a huge reason for the success of FC Cincinnati. So it's really been amazing. You know, when you see the photos, of course, the announcement was in a small bar. I guess there's some sort of limitations to what Major League Soccer had for what they could have for TV. So they had to keep it in this smaller area. But there's an auxiliary event in an area of the city called Fountain Square, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people were there watching it on a big jumbotron. They had streets closed. It was like a big festival. So I think this city is really taken to it. It's just a really special day.
Fair enough. I want to go back a couple years when the team launched, and Cincinnati wasn't necessarily a market that a lot of us outside of the area thought of as a great soccer market, but it turned out to be. What was the key? Why did FC Cincinnati succeed when there hadn't really been that culture of club football supported in Cincinnati before that?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to the the buy-in from the ownership. You have Carl Lindner, who's, you know, the king of Cincinnati, I guess, for lack of a better term. You have Jeff Birding, who's been a politician. He's also been in the sporting industry with the Bengals. And Jeff Birding kind of, he would go to every community event. You know, he went to my local high school sporting association and did a presentation in front of 25 people. You know, he kind of built this army to go out and sell the team for him. You know, that's how my brother, Brad, who's a co-host on Cincinnati Soccer Talk, that's how him and I got really bought into FC Cincinnati and just kind of, you know, just kind of morphed. It kind of amplified. And I think just going in and being relentless with Jeff Birding and Carl Lindner, putting their money where their mouth is, learning from their mistakes. Of course, we all saw the what we call the Chalk Man video on the original announcement for FC Cincinnati. They
FCC,
learned, they adapted.
FCC, FCC.
Yeah.
Sorry,
exactly.
I still have it in my head.
Yeah, so they learned and they responded to the local soccer community. They actually hired several people who were a part of the soccer community in different avenues. And they listened, and it's just been an incredible experience, incredible rise. And I think it you know, your general manager is from the Bengals. I assume he comes in with a lot of preconceived notions, and he kind of threw those out the window. And you know, and I think we're all better for it.
Okay, Brian, I'm not gonna lie. I've been pretty critical. I've downright been making fun of the rebranding, the name change. Defend it for me.
Well, you know, my last name's Weigel. Weigel, very German. This town's very German. They're going to be playing right next to a part of town called Over the Rhine, which is, of course, the Rhine River in Germany. A lot of streets are branding German in the city, or branded German in the city. So it's just kind of our heritage. A lot of the target demographics of FC Cincinnati have been that German heritage. You know, we have Die Innenstadt, Die Nordlowen, the Pride Norden, all these German themes, as you probably hear. So I think that's, you know, the whole thing was kind of supporter driven. When we saw the logo originally, we heard a football club, you know, the Spanish notation, a lot of people weren't really thrilled with that. And this has kind of been a 2-year process. There's a supporters council, I think 30 to 40 members that, you know, come from all the different, you know, supporters groups, fan bases, VIP areas. They're a huge, a lot of different demographics, and they kind of push this. And the FC Cincinnati brass responded. They've come up with their own ideas, and I think it's going to be good for FC Cincinnati. And that's what it's all about. You know, we don't need, you know, the people in LA, the people in Toronto, the people in Columbus. We don't need all those people to, you know, go high five. That's great, because it's our club, and that's what really matters to us. And you know, we took a lot of abuse even on Cincinnati Soccer Talk trying to stand up for the name. But I think it just means a lot more to us. It's kind of a special thing for us to kind of have our own, you know, our say in what we want our club to be named.
Well, hopefully you get to travel to the Nordecki as well next year. That's a different topic for
Yeah, day, yeah. We actually are going in 8 days. A big part of the FC Cincinnati fan base is organized to go up and support Save the Crew. We actually did a fundraiser for their TIFO campaigns and all that stuff down here back in December, I want to say. But no, we support those guys up there, and we hope to keep hell real, as we call it, and play them in 2019.
Fair enough. All right, we'll end it with this one, Brian. Let's go to USL. Let's go to this season. As you say, 20 points, 2 points back of Louisville, the defending champions in USL right now. Tell us why you're going to overcome your rivals and win the USL championship this year.
Well, I think we haven't played the best that we're capable of yet. We've brought in some guys who I think are going to contend for Major League Soccer spots, like Nazmi Al-Badawi, who kind of is that number 10 role. And I think he came into the season a little bit out of fitness. He's just starting to get his legs under him. He scored 2 goals a week ago versus North Carolina, his former team. There's a little bit of a different style that we've run out this season, so I think some of the returning guys are adapting to that. Danny Kunig, forward, he scored 4 goals, so he's, of course, liking it. But I think there's just been a little bit of changes. The thing that I'm a little cautious about is – you know, words from Lucas Sasano, our technical director, Coach Alan Koch as well, is that they plan to use this upcoming summer window to bring in players for Major League Soccer. And if we take our eye off the ball, bring in some of those guys, plug them in just to get them you know, used to our club, our culture, how we play, I'm worried that we might drop a little points there. But I see why they want to do it. But at the end of the day, if you ask everybody here, I think they really, really, really want this USL championship, and I think it matters a lot because Louisville has it. You know, they're our rival right now. We hate those guys. We respect the heck out of them with what they do. They're at a disadvantage. Of course, they play on that baseball field down there in Louisville. But, we really want to beat those guys and end our USL time on the right foot.
Fair enough. Brian, tell the listeners how they follow you, what else you do, and promote anything you want.
Sure. Well, we do a live show on Monday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern on Facebook and YouTube at Cincinnati Soccer Talk. You can follow all that on social media on Twitter at Cincy, C-I-N-C-Y, Soccer Talk. So you can find us out. We're going to be releasing a game story here shortly for our match versus New York Red Bulls 2 this weekend. But we just try to put as much coverage out there as we possibly can. A lot of podcasts you can find in your major podcast platforms as well. So a lot of things going on here. We took, a day or two off just because we put so much time and effort into that the coverage of the expansion event. But we're jumping back on the horse this week.
All right. Cheers, Brian. Hopefully we'll talk soon.
We'll be right back after the break.
Березы подмосковные шумели вдалеке, плыла, качалась лодочка моя у зереке, плыла, качалась лодочка моя у зереке. Мы плыли по течению.
Soccer today is now World Cup today for the next month and a half until July 15th, at least. It's June 1st, and World Cup Today is now live on a daily basis to give you your World Cup fix, Dwayne, your World Cup podcast fix. And by the way, you can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork, and you can find live versions of our show, always free and ad-free, on youtube.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Ad-free versions of the shows we do are available. On our Patreon, Dwayne, for $5 a month, you get ads-free versions of our show at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork.
Absolutely. You should do that if you don't like ads, if you don't like Alexis, which seems to be the only ad that I've heard so far. Does anyone else hear another ad out there?
I've heard a few other ones. Yeah, and apparently we have other ones too. But apparently the algorithm, you know the algorithms like which manage our lives now, apparently think that you like Lexus.
Yeah, I got some news for them. And also, I did not just admit that I listened to our own show. I don't listen to myself talk. I don't.
Wait, it's called quality control? It's fine. Mm. You're allowed to.
Fair enough. Yes, I listen to. Well, I do actually listen to improve my diction and presentation. Kevin, Cincinnati.
did you say your diction or your addiction? I'm not sure I caught that because I could hear the Diet Pepsi fizzling in the background.
I do like my DP. That's wrong. Sorry. Oh,
Cincinnati. Yes, FC Cincinnati.
Yeah. Get me off this. Yeah, go.
FC Cincinnati. Welcome to Major League Soccer in 2019. Not even 6 months away. That's the thing, though. The announcement is so close to when they start. I don't think they have time to go into the famous sump.
Well, hopefully they don't for themselves. Right now, as I said, they're right up near the top of USL, 20 points. They had a bit of a disappointing season last year, I think, and they wanted to improve upon that. The US OC run sort of blinded a little bit, but they were in the bottom half of the playoff pool and didn't get deep. As they say, Louisville is a rival there. They ended up winning the championship. I'd like to think that it was Mark Anthony Kay's run to the title there. But they don't want to hit that slump. But as Brian said in the interview, if they start to add players and they get that distraction in the second half, it's going to be interesting to see whether they can overcome that. Because traditionally, over the last 3 or 4 USL teams to come up, they have struggled once they've learned that they're going, because it starts to be about the name in the back rather than the badge in the front, right?
Yep, and it's even the coaches. So that's the thing, the positive thing here is Alan Koch will be the coach in MLS as of now, unless something happens up until now then. So maybe it'll be different. Maybe it'll be different than the Minnesota or Montreal way, which their coaches was not the one that made the transition. And anyways, it was a whole lot of drama in 2011 for Montreal.
Wait, there was drama in Montreal?
Oh, when? I'm shocked. This week? Or you're talking about the last 25 years? Yeah, there's been a lot of drama in Montreal. Like, people were fighting on training on Tuesday, but everything is going well on Friday. That's the thing. After the rain, the sun comes out.
Sure, we'll see. We've talked the impact of death this week, so we'll move on from that, Kevin. Yeah, Cincinnati is interesting to me because they really did come out of left field. And I do feel, however, and I do want to mention Sacramento right now, and not to belabor it or beat on them, but it's sad to me that they have had this support and been dragged along for so long now and haven't quite got in. And that suggests to me that there's something missing there that MLS doesn't like. And I just, at this point, Kevin, wish that they would be honest with them at this point, to say, you know what, you're not getting in, because I don't think they're going to. And that's unfortunate. And I hope that MLS and the sport doesn't lose fans because of it in that area. Because at this point in time, I don't know, Kevin, I don't know. You go ahead.
Well, Sacramento was great what they've been doing for a long time, but there's a big difference between 13,000 and 26,000, right? The difference is, okay, yeah, we'll make you guys go in right now. We need a team right now next year. We don't like to have an odd number of teams. So, yes, we need a team as soon as possible. You guys are kind of ready. All right, fine. We'll give it to you guys. And look, guys, you're not out of the line. You're still in line. You just got bumped.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's got to be about the ownership in Sacramento at this point. There's something about that group that MLS isn't quite in love with. I'm going to use a comparison here that probably isn't completely fair, because I don't think they're this bad, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Jeff Cooper in St. Louis situation. I'm going way back. That's a big callback that I just did there. If those of you that have been around long enough will know what I mean by that. Everyone thought St. Louis was a sure thing to go in, and Jeff Cooper was the man behind it, but it turned out that Jeff Cooper didn't have any money. And nonetheless, I'm not saying the Sacramento owners don't, but
yeah,
I think it's kind of a similar situation. They're looking at the ownership group and they're not entirely convinced. And that's the unfortunate reality when you're talking about a franchise league. Not to make this a pro rel discussion, but when you're looking at a franchise league, you need big pockets to go in and compete. And if they don't have it, that's unfortunate. But here we are. We live in a franchise world.
We live in a franchise world. But this is World Cup today. And we're going to talk about the World Cup now. Group C, my favorite group, kind of. Not because of, like, just for pure personal reason, like subjective reason. Group C is my personal favorite group. Group consisted of France, Australia, Peru, and Denmark. And for me, Dwayne, this group is a classic group of two teams stronger than the rest. They're not facing each other until the third game of that group. So France and Denmark will be facing each other on June 25th to see who wins the group, in my mind. Like, France should beat Australia and Peru in their first two games. And Denmark should beat Peru. Well, maybe not. Guerrero's coming back now. But Denmark should beat Peru and should beat Australia as well to have a European showdown for the top group C.
Well, that would be chalk for sure. Although, I like this group because I think it's pretty balanced. France is the clear favorite, but they're France, so God knows, right? Yeah. And I say that lovingly. But I think the other three teams, to me, all of them, to me, are in with a chance. Denmark is a bit of a sleeper team. Peru is a bit of a sleeper team. The Australians have done okay before. They're kind of a muscular team that sort of can compete in any given game. So I would put the Aussies fourth in the group, but nonetheless, I think the other three teams are, Denmark's the favorite probably, but they are kind of, in my mind, fighting out in equal terms for that second spot. I do think France is the class, and in fact, spoiler alert, when we give our predictions, they might be predicted by me to go pretty damn far in this tournament. But but yeah, this is the best group that we've talked about so far, I'll say that.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Well, A and B wasn't that compelling, especially when compared to Group C, and we'll talk about Belgium and and that group when it comes time, but Group C. So France, of course, and Denmark, the clear favorite. Peru, at least with the great news of yesterday, their captain, Paolo Guerrero, will be able to play in Russia 2018. Best player for Peru. Instrumental player in their qualification run that saw them qualify for the first time for the World Cup. So, there's another positive here. But for France, Dwayne, France has been touted as one of the favorites here. It's in the top three conversations. Of course, when you talk about a World Cup nowadays, you talk about Germany, best team in the world, and until you beat the man, you can't really be the man, and no one has beat the man yet. So, when I say the man, I mean the Mannschaft, of course. So, die Mannschaft, best team in the world. Brazil, it's up there. And France, too. So, those are like the top three. People are high on Spain, too. So, top four contenders. But we're talking about a team of France, which is in that conversation.
To me, France is the deepest team in this tournament. I like their roster top to bottom. I think that they have a great potential to go very deep in this tournament. Really quickly, before I go back to France, I do want to make sure, because Martin is a listener and he will kill me if I don't say that Peru did in fact qualify, but it's been since 82.
Okay, so nonetheless, this is the second time to the World Cup.
All right. Okay. Convince me, Kevin. Why will this be France's good cycle? Because that's been their pattern. Good, bad, good, bad. They always have the talent, but they also always have this penchant for drama. Tell me why that's going to be different this time.
The reasoning why, first of all, Benzema's not there. So you got yourself a little bit less drama right there. The squad was chosen not by name recognition and not by... okay, I have to put this guy because he's so good. And the fact that Dimitri Payet was a bit injured and was left off the list, for me, shows me that Didier Deschamps is building a team and not an all-star team. He's been not building a team that the fans will be happy to cheer. Oh, Ribéry's there. Oh, people I know are there. Oh, yeah, I like it. No. You build a team for what your convictions tells you to. You build a team by... putting players that you think in that position, he's the one that will contribute the most to your cause. And I think that's what Didier Deschamps has done. Looking at players like Lamar, left wing, left midfielder, who was a big surprise to even make the team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he starts because of what he brings is a bit different. And he has a quality that is not necessarily replicable in the player pool. And you want player that will... play the role that you give them. Not want to be the hero, not want to do everything. You're going to have one or two of those per team anyways. Griezmann and Mbappe, you guys do whatever the F you want. But the other guys, you guys stick to your role. And you don't overextend yourself. You know what I mean? And that's the type of tournament where if you don't do too much, you might be better off. And I think that's the type of team where... yes, you have a superstar like Paul Pogba, but he will not be called upon to be the man at 100, like, the whole time. That's Griezmann. And the fact that that happens is going to liberate Pogba. He's going to have more freedom in his mind to be able to do what he wants. And when Pogba's not bogged down by making mistakes and being crapped on because he made mistakes and just being trusted with confidence, he plays a lot better. And I feel that all those little things, all perfect storms... are going to happen for France?
When I look at France, I see a lot of players that are A minus A. I'm not completely convinced they have an A plus player out there. Is Pogba the guy? Is Griezmann the guy? Is there someone else there on the roster that's the guy? Do they have that global superstar that can lift the team up? Is there someone on that roster who on that roster can be that Zidane that they've had in the past?
Well, the talisman for me will be Griezmann. Why? Yeah, you know, sometimes in life you have to bet on yourself. You have to put yourself first, and that's what Griezmann is doing. Antoine Griezmann has deferred his future after the World Cup, Dwayne. So Antoine Griezmann has decided to use the World Cup as a window. He's window shopping a club. Club will be window shopping a striker watching France. And for me, that aspect, that banking on yourself, that trusting that your skill set and your capacities will make the price of your transfer go up, and you'll have every team in the world wanting for you to join them. I think just the confidence to be able to do that shows us that, yeah, Griezmann has the possibility of being the golden boot here.
Well, yeah, Griezmann's an interesting character. Perhaps because of where he plays club-wise, he gets a little overlooked, but we'll see. I mean, as I said, one of the most compelling storylines to me in this World Cup is who's that number three? Well, who is the third best player in the world? Griezmann is part of that conversation for sure. The World Cup is going to offer them an opportunity to step up and do that. All right. When I look at this group as a whole, as I say, I think it's pretty balanced. I do put the Aussies at fourth, but with a chance to go to the knockout round. I'm hesitating between Peru and Denmark. I kind of like the Peruvians, but I'm not sure whether that's just my own bias coming through because I have a lot of Peruvian friends. So you tell me why I should be betting on Denmark over Peru.
Christian Eriksen? One of the good reasons why you should be betting for Denmark instead of Peru. But it's not just that. I think the depth of Denmark is a bit higher than the depth of Peru. And experience at a high level. Been to Euro, been to World Cup before. This for Denmark, not that it's not special. It's always special going to a World Cup. But it's always, when you have the experience, it's not necessarily totally unknown. So you find your markers here and there, and you can bring back that confidence that your experience does give you.
Fair enough. Just quickly, though, Peru had a 2-0 win over Croatia. They beat Iceland 3-1, 2-0 over Scotland. Those are some recent results from them. I never sleep on those South American teams, those not Argentina, Brazil's South American teams. Often we do have one of them step up. It's been Uruguay in the past. Even Paraguay has had great results. So I just have a hunch on Peru. So I actually am going to just slightly edge them over Denmark, but it's a coin toss. Really, it is. This is a compelling group that way. And I do think that France is, I just don't see drama this time. I mean, that can change in a heartbeat with this club. There's history there, them and the Italians, but we all know what's happened to the Italians, so we don't have to talk about them this time.
And Dwayne, so if there's drama for France, it's easy. Didier Deschamps either resigns or gets fired or waits a year or two for his contract to be out, and Zidane becomes the manager. There's no problem here.
No, for sure. Zidane's going to be linked to that job until it's his,
until he
right?
dies, like until he dies, literally. Like, if he doesn't get it in the next 30 years, we'll still be talking about it. So when Zidane's going to take the national team job? Exactly.
He still looks like he could play to me. I the entire Champions League final, I'm watching it going, just sub yourself in.
Just come on. Come on. Just make sure you finish your career with a trophy, not a headbutt. Come on in for 5 minutes or something.
And who would deny it? We'd all just stand and applaud, weep. We'd weep. If we saw him walk on the field, he looks like
I'd cry.
He could play in that suit. He could play in the suit.
He did before. Anyway. Remember, like earlier this season, there was a ball coming into the sideline. He just extended his leg, pop, two little touches. The ball went back down. Just effortless. Just beautiful.
I miss Zidane. I do. Anyway, that's just my own bias.
We miss you, Zidane. You had the best mix of confidence, arrogance, talent, shyness, and an extrovert, all mixed at once at the same time. It's like crazy. You look like a nice guy. At the same time, you look like if you step on your shoes, it's going to kill you. And he's going to help you through life. But if you mess up, he's going to give you a beating. All of this at once. I love Zizan.
That era of footballers were just really cool.
Cantona? Come on. Like...
Anyway. All right. Yeah. So I think we're both... Well, we're... You save Denmark, I say Peru. Flip a coin, as I said. We both agree France is the class of this group and have the potential to maybe win the whole thing. We'll have to see what my predictions are. I haven't completely worked them out yet. We'll see soon, though, Kevin.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. We got 2 weeks left of World Cup today before a ball is starting to be kicked around. As always, you can follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larame. The show at Soccer Today SPN. You can find ad-free versions of all the podcasts we do at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $5 a month will give you access to ad-free versions of our show, and $2 a month gives you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, which will come back as soon as possible in probably the next few days. Dwayne and I needs to be figuring this out. The World Cup is taking over our lives, and it's just beginning. And as always, until today is Friday, so until Monday, have a great soccer.